Imaragai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello and welcome to King's Kids. I'm Stephanie Ted. Tony Dennison is an Aboriginal evangelist who shares his unique perspective on life. This week, Tony will be sharing on a very serious matter, and we strongly recommend that parental discretion is used during this episode. The Brave Hearts organisation have provided statistics which suggest that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused in some way before the age of 18. More alarming is the fact that the Robertson Report of 1999 states that 88% of rapes in Indigenous communities go unreported. Think about that for a moment. The effects are devastating, and more often than not, because the perpetrators are well known and trusted by family members, the abuse is not an isolated incident. So how, if ever, can someone move forward with life after being so horribly violated? Tony believes that through sharing his personal experiences, he can offer hope.
Today I want to tackle the issues of sexual abuse. It happens a lot in the community and people never talk about it. I was sexually abused myself as a child and it went on for many years. And the common denominator with this is that when people are abused, the people that are doing the abuse are so clever, so cunning, and so manipulative that they're able to convince you that they've done nothing wrong. They'll tell you time and time again that you can't tell anybody because nobody's going to believe you. You know, that's a lie. Because if you tell somebody, someone will believe you. And there's a lot of signs and indicators with kids that are being abused or adults that are being abused. And you've got to be able to keep an eye out for the signs. When it happened to me as a child, I never dealt with it. And I was full of anger. I was full of bitterness. I was full of hatred towards other people. You know, there was a time in my life that I was in amateur boxing. And sometimes I'd get in the ring and you just wanted to belt the heebie-jeebies out of the person you was fighting because an anger would rise up in you. And see, it was harder for me because at the time it happened to me, I was involved in boxing and it was the trainers and the people that was supposed to be looking after us. They were the ones that was doing the abusing. I remember once I went away to a fight and it was a very important fight. And it was a fight that I was looking forward to. I trained hard and everything was going good. And we arrived in this town and there was 3 or 4 adults with us, trainers and that. And one of the trainers said to me, he took me aside and he said, you know, let's go up here. I want to show you something. And he took me to this hotel room and that's where the abuse took place. But that night, when I got in the ring to fight, I was so full of anger and hurt that I just lost it. I'd often cried out to God and I said, God, if you're really there, how can you be allowing these things to happen to me? And, you know, I didn't hear from God. I just felt that I was talking to the clouds in the sky because I'd look up, I'd lie on the riverbank and I'd look up at the clouds and I'd cry out to God and I'd look at the clouds and try and wonder what God looked like. And I just felt that I wasn't hearing from God. And you know, that sort of stuff gets into your system and it starts to destroy you. It eats away like a cancer. And then I finished up, I ran away and I left Moree with the person that was abusing me because I was so ashamed of where I was and I didn't want to be there and the abuse continued for another couple of years. And then when I was about 16, I put my hands up and I said, no more. This is not happening no more. And I dug my heels in and I was big enough to stand on my own 2 feet to fight. And I said, no more. And then when I started getting involved in armed robberies and other things, that anger was always there. It was always just below the surface. Sometimes I'd be in a cafe or I'd be at home and I'd be with family and you'd hear something on the TV or somebody'd say something and it'd just trigger an enormous amount of anger. It'd come from nowhere. And it was like being around me was like living and walking on eggshells because you didn't know when the anger was going to explode. And I found it very difficult in life to be able to deal with this. And sometimes, you know, when I did some of these armed robberies, it just exploded. I thank God that in that anger, the time of anger, that I didn't kill anybody. I remember I was in prison one day and I hadn't had a visit for 3 years. I heard the guard in the kitchen get us take a phone call, and I'm sure he mentioned my name for a visit. And it was close to lunchtime and I worked in the kitchen, and this prison guard, he thought, oh, he doesn't need to have a visit, I'm not going to tell him. And so when I went back to the cell block at lunchtime, this prison guard said to me, he said, Tony, did you go for your visit? I said, what visit? He said, oh, I rang the kitchen, he said, about 11 o'clock, and said you had a visitor. And he said you would have only had time to go down and say hello and maybe arrange for them to come back. And the anger that exploded within me was unbelievable. Can you imagine being locked up in a prison, not seeing anybody, not having a visitor for a long time? Man, I was excited about seeing somebody. I didn't know who it was. It could have been the postman for all I cared. It wouldn't matter if it was Santa Claus. But to see another human being that wasn't a prison guard or a prisoner was really exciting. And so I goes back to the kitchen and I said to this prison guard, did I get a visit, mate, before lunch? He said, yeah, but he said we were short-handed in the kitchen and I didn't think you needed it. I said, you didn't think I what? You didn't think I needed to have human contact with someone from the outside? And he said, yeah, I'm like God in here. I can do what I like. Nothing you can do about it. So when I finished my washing up in the kitchen, I went back to my cell block and I said to myself, what am I going to do? I said, I don't even know who it was. Anyway, I went back to the kitchen and this prison guard was there. And he was by himself. And the phone rang and he said, oh, there's a visit for you. He said, but I don't, he said, they rang earlier while you was back in the cell block. I don't think they're there now. And I said, you don't think they're there now? Did it ever occur to you that I might want to see these people? So I lost it and I just nodded him. One thing you do in prison, you don't need prison guards. But it was too late. Once you've hit him, there was no going back. So I gave him a couple of good ones. And then anyway, and I walked around to the kitchen and then I heard my name called to go for a visit. And you're supposed to wear visiting, you know, clothes to the visit. And I didn't have time to change. So I started walking down to the gate for towards the visit. And there was a young prison guard there, God's gift to screws he was. And he come charging down towards me like gung-ho, like, you know, like a hero out of a comic book. I just nodded him. Didn't even talk to him, hit him and stepped over him. And I walked towards the visiting gate and there was guards everywhere. And people sort of, who's this lunatic? Who's this lunatic? He just dropped two prison guards. Well, they only knew about the one in front of them, but I dropped him. They decided to allow me to have the visit, but after everybody else was out of the road, because they thought I was out of control. Anyway, this woman had come to see me, and I seen her for a few minutes, because she had to go by then, and I went back to the kitchen, and I knew the guards would come for me. You just don't hit prison guards. So anyway, I just sat there waiting with the pick handle. I said, they're going to come and get me. Anyway, when they come, I looked them in the eye and I said, well, I know you're going to take me out and you're going to hurt me. So I said, who's going to come first? Another prison guard, who was a senior officer, he came along and we was army buddies together. And he come up and he said, Tony, he said, you better put that pick handle down. I said, no, I'm not. And he said, let me try and sort this out for you. And he asked me what happened and I told him, I said, this thing in here got a phone call for me to have a visit and he decided he was God and he wasn't going to tell me about it. He said twice he didn't tell me, once in the morning and once in the afternoon. So I said, well, he wants to be God then, I'll show him who's boss. And then I said, when I went for the visit, the other guy, the way he approached me with anger and aggression, I said, oh, by then I'd already lost it. And so I hit him. Anyway, he said to me, well, let me sort this out. I'll sort it out if you put the pick handle down. And he went to the first guard that I hit and he said, you can charge Tony. You can have him locked in solitary and you can charge him and he can get extra sentence on his sentence. You go ahead and do that. But then he said, I'll charge you then for not passing on the visits and you'll lose your job and your pension. That guy decided not to press charges. So even then, when I wasn't saved, God had his hand on my life. I wouldn't know God then if he bit me on the leg, but God had his hand on my life. So in the second prison guard, he shouldn't have left his post and he shouldn't have been aggressive because I was only going to the visiting section. Anyway, he saw the light too and he didn't press charges. And you know me, old army buddy said to me, he said, mate, he said, you're going to have to get a grip on that temper. He said, I can't save you all the time. See, I went to a church and I wanted somebody to help me to deal with me anger. When I went to the church and I asked this fella, I said, can you help me? And he laughed at me. I'd never been to church for very long and I thought, well, if you're God's representative and if you can't take me serious dealing with relationships because I just got out of prison. I mean, I just married a woman with two kids and I didn't have any kids in my life for 10 years, not let alone a woman and a wife. But, you know, you need help adjusting when you get out of prison, and I didn't get that. And because I didn't get that from the church, I felt I couldn't trust God. They're God's representative. You know, how wrong was I? Because just because man let me down and man failed, God will never let you down. God will always be there for you. And if you ask God, you've only got to ask, and God will do something for you.
Hide your fear, embarrassed by your weaknesses, afraid to let me near. I wish you knew how much I long for you to understand. No matter what may happen, child, I'll never let go of your hand. Though you've been forsaken by all you've known before, when you failed their expectations, they frowned and closed the door. But even though your heart itself should lose the will to stand, no matter what may happen, child, I'll never let go of your hand. Life that I have given you, no one can take away. I've sealed it with my spirit, blood and word. The everlasting Father has made his covenant with you, and he's stronger than the world you've seen and heard. So don't you fear to show them all the love I have for you. I'll be with you everywhere, in everything you do. And even if you do it wrong and miss the joy I've planned, I'll never, never let go of your hand. Life that I have given you, no one can take away. I've sealed it with my spirit, blood and word. The everlasting Father has made his covenant with you, and he's stronger than the world you've seen and heard. So don't you fear to show them all the love I have for you. I'll be with you everywhere, in everything you do. And even if you do it wrong and miss the joy I've planned, I'll never, never let go of your hand. never let go of your hand.
God's got a habit of bringing things up in your life until you deal with them. And you see, because I've always run away from this anger, my wife pleaded with me, because my anger would explode with the kids, my anger would explode with her, and it'd be over nothing. Big things happen, and I don't even get upset about it, but it was just the smallest thing would set me off. For over 20 years, my family begged and pleaded with me to get help with it, and because of that first rejection, I didn't want to do it. But you see, God's so good that he'll keep bringing things around and around and around and around. Just like the Israelites walked through the wilderness for 40 years. As old black fella walked around the wilderness for 20 years with anger and hatred and all these things in my life, bitterness. And this anger was like a cancer. It was destroying me. I was working one day in Armidale, and I was working with this lovely young girl, and we was having lunch and she started to cry. And I said to her, well, what are you crying for? And she was, something I said was brought back that she was being abused as well. And, you know, we just sat down and we hugged each other on the park bench and we cried and talked. And that's the first time I really talked about it, being abused. It felt good to be able to talk to somebody. But you see, then God took it a step further, because my wife rang me and she said, this friend of ours is visiting. He wants to take one of our kids on holiday with him. And I screamed at her in the phone. I said, don't you dare. Don't you dare let him go anywhere with our kids or anybody else's kids. And she didn't understand why. And when I came home, I had, for the first time in my life, had to sit down and tell my wife and our pastor about the sexual abuse. You know what? I was so scared, because I was always told it was my fault. Because I was always told that nobody's going to believe you. Kids tell lies. No one's going to believe you because you're black. And so, and here I am with my wife, who'd been faithful, trusting, supportive, and couldn't deal with my anger outburst. And my kids, it just devastated my kids. And she said to me, well, what do you want to tell us? And tears welled up in my eyes, and I started to tell them. And all this anger was in me. But for the first time, I really felt good about what I'd done. My pastor put his hand on my shoulder, and so did my wife, and they prayed for me. And they said, Tony, it wasn't your fault. Don't feel guilty about it anymore. Just hand it over to God and let God take it away.
Thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. In the face of all your pride, it moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Oh, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me now to do the impossible.
It takes an act of courage to share your hurts with others, and we are blessed to have Tony share with us all. Tony and I don't want anyone to feel alone, ashamed, or afraid, and both Tony and I, for different reasons, understand the crippling effects of fear. If you've been sexually abused or abused in any other way, we want to help you. We are here to pray for you, to listen to your story, and help you take the first tiny step towards your complete healing. We can be contacted on 0412 944 850. 0412 944 850. We can talk to you anonymously if you choose and stand with you as brothers and sisters. This is King's Kids. I'm Stephanie Ted. And next week we will hear from Tony about how he was set free through the power of forgiveness. God bless. Thank you.